You're listening to SBS News.
That was the sound of Singapore's military welcoming world leaders to the city-state as they prepare for the biannual ASEAN summit this week. The 10-member ASEAN, or the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, represents more than half a billion people living in the region. It offers a chance for members to discuss their shared concerns, but also for regional leaders to strengthen ties with global powers who attend as well. When ASEAN began in 1967, University of Western Australia's international politics professor Mark Beeson says it was a group in search for solidarity.
There was a sort of historical paranoia amongst many people in the West and amongst some of the non-communist regimes in the region that communism was going to sweep all before it, just collapse one after another. And I think the Vietnam War really focused the attention of Southeast Asian states on their region, and they decided that it would be a good idea that the non-communist states banded together and formed a kind of regional organization.
Set up by Thailand, Indonesia, Malaysia, the Philippines, and Singapore, it has since been joined by Brunei, Laos, Vietnam, Myanmar, and Cambodia. Professor Beeson says the 10 nations have developed a solid relationship aimed at improving their status on the world stage.
A lot of the rhetoric at the time was about cooperation and improving economic relations and goodwill, etc., etc. But I think the real goal was to shore up their strategic position and to try and make themselves a bit more powerful.
Over time, ASEAN has also promoted peace and stability in the region, with members signing a treaty against nuclear weapons and most agreeing on a counter-terrorism pact. Scott Morrison will join 21 leaders from around the globe for the summit in Singapore, including Russian President Vladimir Putin and Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. Australia's Assistant Minister for International Development and the Pacific, Anne Rustin, says the government is looking to further its economic and diplomatic ties in the region.
For many years, tyranny of distance has played a very big role in Australia's location on the globe, but with the emergence of these sorts of markets as the absolute leaders in the world, particularly in areas of technology and innovation, Australia now finds ourselves with the advantage of proximity. So nothing could be more important than making sure that we take advantage of the opportunities of ASEAN.
But critics have portrayed ASEAN in the past as big on talk and short on action, driven by the desire for consensus among members. Professor Beeson predicts Australia's plans as well will fall short of achieving much.
Not much ever really happens, and my guess is that that will continue to be the case diplomatically between Australia and the ASEAN grouping, because when it comes to actually enacting serious policies and initiatives, it's very, very difficult to get any kind of consensus.
Mr. Morrison is expected to hold one-on-one meetings with at least six key regional leaders as Australia pushes its case in trade and security talks. The first will reportedly be with Indonesian President Joko Widodo. Australia and Indonesia are meant to sign a free trade agreement, but the relationship has been strained since the Morrison government announced it was considering moving the Australian embassy in Israel to Jerusalem. Opposition leader Bill Shorten has urged the Prime Minister to drop the idea.
The one foreign policy request I have of the government is, for goodness sake, stop this discussion about moving the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Only Guatemala and the United States have proposed moving the embassy. It's an issue which has caused a lot of upset in the region.
Mr. Morrison will also try to forge closer ties with the competing world powers, China as its largest trading partner and the United States as its closest defence ally. La Trobe University international relations analyst Nick Bisley says the tensions between China and the United States often reverberates onto ASEAN states.
The principal question confronting ASEAN is how to sort of carve out space for itself as a grouping that's trying to be independent, that's trying to be friends essentially with everyone, during a time when the two most important countries in the region and indeed the world are increasingly viewing each other as openly as rivals.
United States President Donald Trump, however, is skipping the summit. At a time when the United States and China are battling for influence over the region, Professor Bisley says China will take advantage of his absence.
China sees in Trump, and both in Trump's kind of impetuousness but also lack of focus in the region, a real opportunity to expand PRC influence across the region.
ASEAN is the first of three international summits Scott Morrison will attend over the next 3 weeks, and the first time he will take the world stage as Prime Minister. While he attempts to forge deals and new relationships, Professor Beeson says he should mostly just try to avoid a mistake.
So I think in terms of achievements, not stuffing up spectacularly or saying the wrong thing or upsetting people, because there's a great deal of sensitivity amongst the ASEAN states about the importance of sovereignty, about their diplomatic standing, about national prestige. So they take umbrage quite easily. So it is easy to put a diplomatic foot wrong.
Mr. Beeson says he thinks this first venture for the Prime Minister will be more about shaking hands for photo opportunities than major trade deals. Amelia Dunn, SBS News.
If you enjoyed this, you can find more SBS features on our website or from your favourite podcaster like iTunes, Spotify, Acast, Stitcher or Wooshka.